The reading this morning is Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Nick's going to come and teach us from that lovely scripture. Let's pray for Nick, shall we? Father, we thank you for Nick and the way that you have blessed us with him. Thank you, Lord, for his leadership, for his prayers, for his concern, for the way he seeks you, for the way of the church. And Lord, I just pray right now that as Nick speaks to us, it will not be his words that we hear, but your words that we hear through his mouth. Guide him, fill his heart with your Holy Spirit and his mind. Touch our lives that we will be open to hear your word through him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
Good morning. Again. Better day than it was yesterday and the day before, isn't it? Not so much rain. Well, how's your everyday going? How's your everyday going? Picking up on my sermon from a few weeks ago, have you stepped up and acted? Has God been steering your everyday? Have any of your days, your everydays, become extraordinary days? I don't know. But I hope they have. Just a little plug. Tuesday morning, this coming Tuesday, between the hours of 10 and 12, we have an opportunity to come together in our everyday. Come together and pray. Not only for our country, because it needs it, but because we have other situations in the church. People who are not well, that we feel it's appropriate to pray for. So there is an opportunity to come together and pray on Tuesday this week between 10 and 12. There will be no formal leading. It will just be available for you to come in and spend some time in quiet and pray. So that's just with regard to every day. This week on Tuesday, we have the church open for prayer. Today, I'm going to be bringing the Life on the Front Line series to an end. 6 weeks have gone very fast, haven't they? It's going even quicker, because according to my the radio and stuff, it's about 60 days till Christmas, which therefore means it's about 66 to the end of the year. Not long now, and it's 2020, and then it'll be 2021. But yes, so we're going to be drawing a close to this sermon series. We're looking this morning at how the front line affects our community life. And I've entitled it, Fellowship Helps in Times of Crisis. Fellowship helps in times of crisis. Now, personally, when I need support, I know I can get it from home. When I need support, I can get it from home. Sharon, that's my wife, is my biggest supporter. And this is great to know. She has my back. And I hope she knows that this is reciprocated, that I have her back in tough times. And as parents, we hope that our children know this to be true as well. That we, as their parents, offer them support when times of crisis come upon them. And maybe, you know, you would regard that the same. You would want to know that your children, in times of crisis, would be able to come to you. Because I'm 40-something, 46. And I still go to my mum occasionally when times of crisis come, because she's somebody that I love and I know she has the best for me. Do you ever consider what life would be like if you were not part of the church? I occasionally have times when I stop and consider, what would I do if I wasn't part of a church? If we stop and consider what church is, it's a community of people who are like-minded, as the reading tells us this morning. There was a dynamic duo, that's Peter and John, not Batman and Robin, returned to their fellow believers, their community. They had, like the bridge, they had support, strong support to keep them up. If I wasn't part of such a community, how would I act and feel in times of crisis? For instance, one example that often comes to my mind is how people feel when they're moving into a new area. I want you just to consider this for a moment. You're not part of the Christian faith, and for whatever reason, perhaps a new job or a family relocation, you end up moving to Accrington Stanley. How would you feel? How would you feel? I often think it would be really tough moving into a new area, not knowing anyone. It would take time to get to know someone. And if you have a crisis, whatever sort that might be, who's going to help you? As I've already said, perhaps some of us would go to our other halves for support. But how long would that be able to be sustained? How long would I be able to sustain Sharon, or Sharon sustain me, if a crisis was prolonged? For me, when I think into this idea, I am so thankful for my faith, and in turn, for the church. For wherever I go, I know that I can join into a community of believers and very quickly become part of a wider network which will offer fellowship and so will offer help in times of crisis. Now, you might say this is true for people who are not part of the church. Okay, and that might be true. But from my own personal experience, I am able to declare that within the church, you can find fellowship which helps in times of crisis. You can find help within the fellowship in times of crisis. So this is the experience of Peter and John. On facing a crisis, they turned to those they had fellowship with. Rather than withdrawing, they connected. Whenever you face crisis, are you the sort of person that withdraws Or would you be willing to connect? In considering the passage, it's appropriate to look over what comes before our reading so we can understand the context on what this reading is built from. Now, it is making reference to the sermon I did on the 13th of October, looking at Acts 3. That is the beginning of this section. Peter and John heal a crippled beggar, and then they have an ensuing sermon to the crowd. And then moving into chapter 4, where our reading takes place, our reading is like the fourth and fifth of five movements in this reading. We see, firstly, that the sermon that Peter and John deliver, this dynamic duo, causes the ruling superstructure to get a bit knocked. And simply put, they are asked, by what power or what name did you do this? How have you healed this person? Somewhat ironic, I think, that the leaders of God's people simply have no idea of what God, the God that they profess to worship, is doing. We then see in verses 8 to 12 of chapter 4 that Peter stands before this tribunal, and rather than acting as someone who's accused, he in turn accuses them. He goes on the offensive. Peter's words are succinct and clear, yet he had no formal training. He was a fisherman. Luke makes it clear that the apostle's capacity for such a bold outburst is through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God himself. And then we have the third movement in 13 to 22, where the opponents, that's the ruling leaders, come again and saying, you need to be silent. Stop speaking about this Jesus. They weren't going to just arrest them because they think, we can't do this. What can we do? They said, we'll tell them to be quiet. Don't speak about Jesus. Peter and John were ordered to be silent and to talk no more. What a difference we see in Peter. Peter, rather than as he was when he was with Jesus, who denied Jesus on three occasions, you see that in John 18. Here we see Peter proclaim Christ, not only to the high priest, but to all the leaders in courage and boldness. It is through the Spirit that this was possible. In other words, as we come to our passage, it is coming from a place of persecution. Okay, where we find ourselves now is that Peter and John have just faced persecution. And this is a pattern that is repeated within the book of Acts. Where the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, is advanced, and then some form of opposition is felt. What we see from our reading is the response of those facing the opposition. They turn to their community, and this speaks into the idea that fellowship helps in times of crisis. What does fellowship do? Thank you. It helps in times of crisis. Peter and John seek connection. Rather than withdrawing, they decided to connect. They were vulnerable with the community that they belong to. How do you respond in times of trouble and opposition? So the community do several things, but they pray. Verse 23 to 24 of this chapter. This early church doesn't turn and cower away with their tail between their legs. They come together and pray. For them, opposition brought them to prayer. We only read one prayer, but Luke says they raised their voices together. They raised their voices together. This doesn't mean that all prayed the same prayer. It doesn't mean that they all prayed the same prayer. But like with us today, when people pray audible prayers, we as a fellowship respond with words such as amen. or yes, Lord. An amen means I agree. This helps us as a community participate more fully in the prayer of someone else. Okay? It helps us participate more fully in the prayer of someone else. For fellowship helps in times of crisis. The community pray a prayer that is affirming God's sovereignty. Verses 24 to 28. Sovereign Lord, they said. In doing this, they bring God back into the center from the start. When in doubt, start by reminding yourself how great God is. This prayer talks of his supreme status as ruler over all, declaring that he is sovereign, that he is the sovereign Lord and creator of heaven and earth, implies that the one who created the world is more powerful than those whom he created. Stepping back into last week's sermon, it's in line with Jesus' instruction within the Lord's Prayer. In his opening line, he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." God's sovereignty is declared. God's sovereignty is declared. Psalm 2 is quoted in the reading as a reminder of the futility of trying to disrupt God's purposes. The prayer then goes on to affirm the controlling hand of God over all that's happened, doesn't it? It says, where does it say it there in there? Anyway. He directs it. God directs it, puts things into place. Simply put, the first part of the prayer is God is in charge. Do you know that? I'm sorry. Some of us seem to know it. God is in charge. When trouble comes into our lives, we would do well to remind ourselves of these characteristics of God. Both God as an individuals and as a community. We need to remember that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. When we face strife, when we face struggles, God is sovereign. It doesn't mean that life's going to be any easier, but we have a God who is sovereign and is over things and is with us. God is sovereign Lord. And then the people moved to a request. Verse 29 to 30. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So the community's prayer moves from God's sovereignty to their requests. These requests, they weren't, "Get the Sanhedrin off our backs. Give us an alternative strategy. Please grant us a quiet life." Who prays those? Do you pray that sort of thing? I think we all do sometimes. Thank God, I could just do with a break. Give us a bit of peace and quiet. But is that right? Is that right? The believers requested that God hears the opposition, the threats made by those in power against this fledgling church. For him to take note of who his enemies were. They request an increase in boldness in offering the word of God to provide them with the ability to be obedient in Christ's command to preach the gospel. And that this would be accompanied by the evidence of the supernatural. The church recognized that the preaching of the gospel would be accompanied by signs and wonders. That is the moving of God's Holy Spirit. The request for boldness and for evidence of the supernatural brings to the forefront that these people of God, even in the face of opposition, were so fervent in their call to evangelize. They knew where their help came from, relying on God to help them in their time of crisis, in their call to spread the word of the kingdom of God. They went to God. And then God responds. After the parade, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, I've never experienced a building shake. Have you? Some people have. In an earthquake, maybe. You know, that's got to be, you know, it's not like, oh, isn't it interesting, the building shaking? You're going to be going, oh! I would be. I'd be panicking. If this building started shaking, two things. I'd panic, and then I'd be going, come on, God. Now, in the Old Testament, the shaking of the building is a sign of the manifestation of God in a visible form. And you can find that in Exodus 19, 18 and Isaiah 6, 4. Therefore, for this church, here we read, it would have been apparent that God was present and identifying himself with them. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This isn't a fresh baptism, but a fresh filling. Through this filling, and those who had been praying would have felt an encouragement. I know in those times when I experience an infilling of God, because I believe we can still have that today, that God still infills his people, I have a real moment of encouragement. I am now not alone. When you pray, seek God and invite him in. The Holy Spirit wants to be with us and fill us, to refresh us. When we experience God in a fresh way, one of the first things that we receive is courage. The revelation of God makes us affirm with Paul, if God is for me, who can be against me? Romans 8:31. So it is no surprise that we see at the end of verse 31, that Luke announces they preach the word of God with boldness. They preach the word of God in boldness. Through this time of corporate prayer, being inspired by the opposition faced, we see that the fellowship helps in times of crisis. Now, my hope is that through this passage, all will see that when we are facing opposition, it's important not to withdraw. Pulling away from people increases the problem. I know that when we face opposition, our natural inclination is to withdraw, is to run, to pull into ourselves. But this passage reveals that when opposition is faced, you should look to the support of others. Fellowship helps in times of crisis. We should come together. We should go to those that we love, that are like us, and we should pray. Pray for boldness. Pray that God would have his sovereign way. It is important that for those of us under the threat of facing opposition to be undergirded by companions in Christ. For the strength of community helps us overcome. Hands up if you're part of one of the small groups in this church. If you're part of a life group, put your hands up. Good. We have a number, and that's great. And that's what we're talking about. We are saying that's where you can find encouragement and fellowship and support. If you're not part of a life group, then speak to Paul or myself, because we'd hopefully love to connect you in with one. When we share our situations with those who we know, who have our backs, we can unburden ourselves. We can't unburden ourselves. Sharing clears the air. Do you not find that when you have an issue, if you talk about it, you can help to, it just brings a bit of clarity. Well, it does for me. I know that. Keeping concerns to ourselves will overwhelm us, will affect relationships, and mean that we are unable to think things through clearly. But when we share it with others, we are forced to think things through, and thus able to get some perspective on situations. When we are together within our body, our community, the church, we can spend time praying together. The significance of partnership in a crisis is not only the strength that we can give each other. Being together also causes us to motivate each other to seek God, who is the source of our strength. Alongside this, we too are encouraged in times of opposition to draw on one another in prayer, in unity, not to escape, but for the boldness to continue and for a fresh infilling of God's Spirit. I want to encourage us to look at being together. As a church, we have several things that we focus on to grow, connect, and serve. As a body, we're called to connect with one another, which may mean sometimes we have to be vulnerable, which is not the British thing, is it? But we need to be vulnerable if we really want to grow as a unity, in unity and as connections with one another. We need to be vulnerable. So if you're struggling in something, share it with your life group. In the notes, it talks about the fact that the outside influencing the inside. And what I believe that is talking about is saying we need to be in, if there's things happening on the outside, we need to make sure that we are then addressing them as a community. Brexit is happening and we're all fed up with it, really. But it needs to affect what we're doing in here. We should be saying, God, we pray for that. We pray that it will get resolved. We want you, your sovereignty, to reign over it. That's what I mean by seeing, changing in here. Not that we then divide into who's for and who's against and sit on separate sides. Not of that at all. It's about the fact that it affects who we are and what we're spiritually thinking about and praying into it. It's like this thing with the lorry. Injustice is going on in our world. We should be, as a church, God, let your justice rule. We must focus on whether we are running from things or focusing towards them. We as a community will become one of a connection if we are open with one another. I would encourage small groups to be open with one another. And obviously this takes time, so don't come straight out with, just to let everybody know, but you've got to build up relationship. You've got to build trust. And that's where the smaller groups is where that happens. Yeah, we come together like this, and it's great to be a body, isn't it? As one, 100 or so people worshipping God together, it brings a presence into the community. But we have value in meeting in smaller groups because that's where the pastoral support happens. That's where we connect with one another. So please, 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 seek to remember that fellowship helps in times of crisis. That when we face persecution, when you face times in work or in family where you think, actually, I just can't go on, there's opposition. Come to those who know you, who have a connection with you, and that's Jesus Christ. Come underneath them and get support from them as they pray for you. Because prayer is foundational if we want to live on our front line. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for fellowship. We thank you for the fellowship of this church. And I pray that you would help us in being that fellowship, that we would take time for one another. Lord, that you would encourage people to share if they have need. Lord God, we want to be a church that is being bold for you, and a church that is being stirred by your Spirit. Father, we pray in our lives that as we experience the outside, we would bring it in so that the inside could see you bring action to the outside. In your name, amen.